Let us ask ourselves some very searching questions. Have you unbounded faith in your Father, Mother, God? Have you faith in His Son, His only begotten Son? Have you faith in the fact that you are His Son, that you are an idea in the Christ consciousness, and that the Son speaks with the authority and understanding of the Father? Have you faith in the words of Christ, that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them? Understanding of God is the Son of God. Have you faith that the Father and you are one, and that the Father doeth the works? Have you faith in the being who was and is and ever shall be, whom nothing can erase? Have you faith in the Word, which is God, and that this Word goes forth and shall not return unto you void? Have you faith that mind, principle, never fails? Have you faith that mind is revealing itself, and that as you are hearing it, that it becomes your consciousness and is you, and that it enables you to speak with authority and to heal? Have you faith that mind unfolds itself and so proves itself? In a demonstration, we do not prove the truth, for the truth is always true, everywhere, and there is nothing else. When we awaken to the fact of man's true being, which is always present, the lie is annihilated as nothing. Is there anything but the presence and substance of God? Is there anything to darken or cloud this presence? Are you dwelling in this presence of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty? Is there any outside to this presence, to this infinite, eternal life? Do you endeavor to be ever conscious of this presence? When you have made these statements of spiritual facts, do not be disturbed if so-called mortal mind will immediately challenge you. It challenged Jesus after His 40-day fast. At first, He answered their questions about turning the stones into bread, etc. Then He firmly said, quote, "Get thee behind Me, Satan," close quote. And it ended the arguments and, quote, "Angels ministered unto Him," close quote. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus demonstrated that life is infinite and the eternal preservation of man. And this proof was accomplished by dependence upon absolute facts of being rather than upon human belief and experimentation. When Jesus fed the multitude in the desert, He proved that substance is spiritual, unlimited and ever at hand, that the activity of life in sustaining creation was through divine law, not through material belief or process. The premise must be perfect God and perfect man. Jesus was the human concept, but His work was divine and accomplished through divine power. In the Old Testament, Christ was revealed, but not as a person. In the New Testament, Jesus, seemingly a person, the, quote, highest human concept, close quote, proved that Christ is humanly available, the coincidence of the human and the divine, the human disappearing and the divine appearing. Jesus said, quote, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Close quote. Christ is your Savior as much as he was the Savior of Jesus. Christ saved Jesus, raised him from the dead, and enabled him to ascend above a material body and the universe. Jesus did not leave a body behind because he knew it was only a belief, an illusion, and he overcame it through truth, the knowledge of true body. Our leader says, quote, "Thought will finally be understood and seen in all form, substance, and color, but without material accompaniments." Close quote. The Son of Man is the spiritual idea or expression of everlasting life, which is God, the only life. God is your God, and he is your life. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, heirs of eternal life and health, eternal perfection. This is our heritage, and we must claim it and take possession of it. The fiery furnace was heated 7 times more than usual for fear it would not kill the 3 Hebrew boys, in which was revealed the 4th, which was the form of the Son of God, or their realization of their spiritual individuality, the coincidence of the human and the divine. We are not individualized separately from our brother. We are one with him in Christ. We have no mind, no life, no love, apart from our brother. Hence the command is to love our neighbor as ourselves. There is no other consciousness than the infinite Christ consciousness, our consciousness, encompassing and embracing all true being. The presence of God is the real fact back of every condition or circumstance, and it is the only presence and is ever available through right thinking. War is not elsewhere. It is the conflicting arguments of mortal mind and human belief, and we must meet it with the truth and defeat it. We must not admit a mortal mind to produce evil phenomena. If everyone in the universe would begin today to keep the 2 great commandments, quote, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," close quote. Just where would war, conflict, and destruction be? Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "The true sense of being and its eternal perfection should appear now, even as it will hereafter." Close quote. Christian Science makes divine power available to humanity It brings the realization of harmony and heaven here and now as an actual fact of our existence. It ends wars, heals lack and poverty, restores health and wealth, gives vitality and inspiration, sets aside any belief of separation from God, any postponement of immortality, and reveals the perfection of man and the infinity of good now. If you believed that you had passed on with a cancer, you would awaken to the fact that you did not die and that disease did not kill you, but that God is your life and that life is uninterrupted and eternal. Then why not awaken to that fact here and now? Overcome the very appearance of death and realize that there is nothing in the universe but God, life. Let God say, quote, I am the Lord that healeth thee, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, close quote. This replaces the false picture with divine love, the angel of his presence. The only man there is reflects the fullness of mind, quote, the full representation of mind, close quote. The true being is perfect, and you do not treat it or endeavor to heal it. You heal your false, delusive sense of man. Coincidence means to correspond exactly. So the human, in demonstration, is made to correspond with or yield to the divine. Quote, the effect of this science is to stir the human mind to a change of base on which it may yield to the harmony of the divine mind, close quote, our leader tells us. When the spiritual fact unfolds, the human sense of pain and disease disappears, showing it to be but a mortal belief, while health is a divine fact. In this way, we are reducing to human perception and understanding the eternal fact of life, which is God, Spirit. This is the healing ministry of Christ, the unfolding of the qualities of God as man, not just making sick matter well matter. Life is a constant challenge to see spiritual values in everything we experience. It is a demand and an opportunity to express the power which is God. All the fear, the anguish, and the misery we experience is wrapped up in the belief that we are dealing with person, mortal man, instead of mind. This appearance, which we call person, is, in reality, the very presence of mind, always in communion with our God mind, the only intelligence. You and I could not see the Christ without a Jesus. That is, unless it was manifested for our understanding. We cannot see power unless it is manifested by somebody or through something, and then it is power we see, not the somebody or something. We see, hear, feel the good we know. It will appear in some understandable form, such as health, happiness, joy, etc. In the crucifixion and resurrection, the people saw the continuity of life, and they called it resurrection. But they could not have seen it and understood it unless Jesus had manifested it. It was the continuity of life they really saw. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took with him three of his disciples and led them up into an high mountain to talk with Moses and Elias. Yet Moses had lived 1,200 years before Jesus. Moses represented the law and Elias the prophets. They were held in highest veneration by the Jews. This vision overcame Peter's power to reason clearly. The sublimity of the transformed Jesus, or the Christ, should have filled the vision of Peter so clearly that Moses and Elias would hardly have appeared. But the human self must be completely eclipsed by the Christ. Peter would have built three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elias. But a cloud overshadowed him, and a voice said, quote, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Close quote. This instance is evidence of the human embracing the divine, for the humanity of Jesus was expressed in the fact that when the disciples were so afraid, Jesus, seeing their fear, quote, "came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.' And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." Close quote. This was the first instance of Jesus' ascension. Ascending above the material senses, to talk with those who had gone on 1,200 years before. Then, in the ascension, 40 days after the resurrection, Luke tells us that Jesus led his disciples out of the city, out of the turmoil of the material sense, to Bethany, quote, "house of God," close quote. There are many references of his leading his disciples to Bethany. He raised Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. The Master, so conscious of eternal life, of his coexistence with God, infinite good, omnipresent Spirit, lifted the consciousness of his disciples and blessed them. His belief of human selfhood vanished in what we call the ascension, and they saw him no more. This is our goal, putting off the old man of material beliefs and putting on the new man, born of spirit, relinquishing all belief in matter and evil, and realizing the fact that we coexist eternally with God as his expression, coinciding eternally with him as the manifestation of his being. The moment we begin to understand God and think God thoughts, we become more like him. There was nothing about his human body or his blood that enabled Jesus to heal, or that made him righteous or a savior. Righteousness is divinely mental. So is character, honesty, inspiration, integrity, and stability. They are not in matter, nor are they dependent upon matter for activity or continuity, but they are man. They are his being. Jesus said that he was in the world, but not of it. let that which is divinely real, divinely true, supplant that which is erroneous, and man is born anew.